Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, sure, and I want to disclose that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I give financial advice, though we obviously provide a lot of technical and trading information on our VR Trader website, where you can get a 50% discount using the promo code 2022 half off 2022 HALFOFF, and just pick any of the five or six newsletters we have, or all of them, and the time frame you prefer, and you get that 50% discount. That's VR as in Victor Robert, VRTrader.com.
It was announced this week the U.S. Consumer Price Index has hit its highest point in 40 years. How have the markets reacted, and how do you trade high inflation?
Well, if we repeat what we saw back in the 1970s, you know, you want to be in cash or short the market, and, you know, it doesn't mean gold's going to go if the dollar is strong, so there's a lot of variables here. You know, bottom line is, I think, you know, we're going higher in the inflation scenario, unfortunately, and I think, you know, we're going to see, I don't think there's going to be a big change until we see the interest rates match the inflation rate, which is what we saw back in the 1970s. So I think rates are going to continue to rise until they're at or above the inflation rate, which they're claiming is 8.5%. So we still have some ways to go, and I could even see a scenario. I don't want to sound like a doom and gloomer, but, you know, we could attack the kind of numbers we saw back in the late 1970s, early 1980, with that 20% that Paul Volcker gave us, with that Fed funds rate way, way up there. And there are a lot of things going on. I mean, we're talking about instability in the world. Janet Yellen comes out with some inane comment. I don't know if you read it in the last couple days. A former Treasury Secretary, she worries over the quote-unquote loss of adequate liquidity for Treasuries. I mean, if Treasuries go to hell, that's the end of the United States, because that's your risk-free asset. So, I mean, there's really, you know, not to mention the war in Europe and the shortages. I mean, eggs are in short supply now, we're hearing, because of the bird flu, and, you know, we and I talked about food shortages. We still have climate issues. You know, there's so much going on out there. You know what, I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but bottom line is, I don't think the inflation scenario is over. The Fed may back away because of political pressure. You know, we have the election here in the U.S. in 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe they don't raise interest rates, or they don't raise as much, or something else happens, some outlier event that forces some other actions on the part of the government. Of course, we do have that plunge protection team out there, which nobody talks about. That was initiated by Ronald Reagan back in the late 1980s. And, you know, the government could do anything here and to manipulate the markets.
In this kind of environment, what kind of advice do you give people? I know you're not a financial advisor, but hey, I'm your buddy. I'd like to know.
Well, you know, honestly, you're in cash. You buy maybe U.S. Treasuries, which are risk-free asset. It depends what time frame you want, 1 year, 2 year, 10 year. You know, they were flirting around over 4.5% earlier today, and they got down to about 3.5%. You know, these are risk-free assets. You just put your money away until, you know, the dust settles. And I don't think the dust is settling so fast. So we're getting ahead of ourselves here a little bit, but you know, October is usually coincident with some type of rally. My forecast model has been predicting this all year, maybe even stretching into early November. And everybody's been looking for a year-end rally. You know, the street is just out there pounding the table about, you know, stocks are cheap. You should look to buy stocks. And sure, you can trade some stuff. We had a huge move in the market today, Thursday, you know, with a 1,200 or 1,300 point swing from low to high. So we took advantage of that a little bit, too. You know, we put out some bulletins. We took some profits yesterday in the inverse ETFs and played a little bit on the long side. So there are definitely trading opportunities there, but whether this is the big turn, I doubt it, but it's tradable.
Now, the last time we had an avian flu outbreak, I recall big poultry farms, you know, had washes, antiseptic washes that the tractor tires went through. You had to put your boots in it. They had security guards to keep germs from being tracked in. But they found one of the biggest sources was migrating fowl, ducks and geese, who might settle in on that farm for a little bit and then move on. And I wonder, have they forgotten the lessons from that already?
And who knows if this wasn't all, you know, manipulated or created. You know, I'm a bit of a cynic, as you've gathered from our conversations, and I don't believe in a lot of accidents, you know, including the COVID event. So who knows? You know, monkey flu last week, avian flu this week. You know, there's always something out there. We got, you know, volcanoes going over, off, and where is that? Is it not Sicily, Tripoli or someplace? It's not the volcano going off. You know, there's always, you know, geocosmic risk, a lot of stuff. It's just a, wild scenario here. So what's next after the bird flu? I guess that's really the question. You know, what else is going to be hitting us? You know, we're not worrying about an asteroid this week. You know, we had the double asteroid redirection test at DART workouts supposedly successfully, though I'm always a little skeptical about NASA reports. But I read somewhere over the weekend that Nostradamus had predicted an asteroid strike in 2022, so I'm trying to confirm that. Maybe he saw the DART test versus an actual asteroid. So, you know, planet's still in danger, so we'll see what all that plays out.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, people around the planet are up in arms or very upset with their local governments, their state, provincial governments, national governments about the high rate of inflation. But should we be worried if governments really decide to take a hand in it? Because I remember back in the 70s when there was rampant inflation, Prime Minister Pierre Elliott Trudeau brought in wage and price controls. Well, they certainly kept wages down, but did nothing to control prices. Are you worried that a heavy-handed government might decide to step in instead of letting the market settle this?
Well, we've already seen them do that anyway. I mean, got a heavy-handed government during the COVID crisis issuing checks to people so they lost incentive to work. And the Fed sitting on his hands when we're spending money right and left. And then now suddenly the Fed gets active and does the raise in interest rates at a very fast pace that we've seen breaks all records, and it's starting to get a lot of criticism. Of course, you know, I've been criticizing the Fed forever and feel it should be abolished, but that's a whole other discussion for a lot of reasons in view of all the damage they've done in the last 110 years that they've been in existence. But no question about the government trying to be heavy-handed. Look what Trudeau did, you know, with the truckers, confiscating accounts and money here in the U.S., funding more IRS agents, Internal Revenue agents to go seek out money, intimidate people. It's almost like the brown shirts in Germany back during World War II. The government definitely is out of control. We need to take control away from the government. We have too many institutions that have just exceeded their authority or politically biased. Look what the FBI has done in the U.S. The FDA releasing a vaccine that wasn't totally tested and viable. And now we're seeing deaths in young people up in their low 20s. They're dropping dead from cardiac events related to the vaccine. I mean, the government just steps in and does crazy things, as I just mentioned, the Fed as well. So, what do you do, Jim? I mean, you got to fire everybody at all the government agencies and start from scratch. Are they going to be as bad as the ones that were there before? Or is it the people on top, you know, like the Trudeaus or the Joe Bidens of the world, who are just making very bad decisions or just trying to gain power for themselves? One of the greatest things that's happening is that Elon Musk is moving ahead with Twitter. He's the Edison of our time, whether he can make that company profitable or not, but the fact that hopefully we'll get some free speech out there, which has been curtailed for so long, is a big, big plus, I think, for, the Western world. So I'm really happy about that one.
Natural gas and crude oil, what's going on there?
I think you still got to be bullish. I mean, we've had a big decline in it. They had a little technical bounce here with the markets. There could be a little more risk, I suppose. But look what's going on in Europe. It's going to be a terrible winter. I think the war situation is already, it's sort of underway already. It's going to get worse. You got insane people like Zelensky out there. You can claim Putin is insane, but he's trying to protect, his values, which are not Western values. So we can have the whole discussion about that, and we'll probably get cut off and shut off if I say all the things that I want to say, so I'm not going to say it. But, the bottom line is, I think the cold weather is going to be an issue, and you got to be more biased toward natural gas and crude oil than not being biased toward it. But, you start picking which markets you want to play, and unless you're trading, very short term here, I still think very much we're in a bear market, and this could stretch well into next year and possibly further unless there's some miracle event. And I don't know what that miracle event would be, suddenly Biden resigns and Donald Trump takes over or something like that, where we have more common sense and we're not trying to create a war in Europe, and where we try to, create more energy here in the U.S. and Canada, and develop our own self-sufficiency and do some smart things really quick. Maybe we could avoid a more negative scenario around the world. So I don't think that was all going to happen, but I guess to answer your question, more bias toward energy, but you got to really be careful in this environment, because I don't think we're out of the woods, and there's going to be, possibly this trading opportunity into the end of the year. It could end very quickly, and or it may disappoint those, or maybe just a bounce into the election. We did that big move in trading today, Thursday, so everybody's getting excited, and the charts did say look in this time frame for possible trading lows. So, if you're out there trading, a lot of volatility, a lot of opportunity, but in terms of the bigger trend, I don't think the bear market trend is over, though we could get more of a bounce, and that might include the crude oil and natural gas.
With the energy crunch in Europe, it seems all of a sudden atomic power is once again on the play sheet. Do you see uranium increasing in price?
Well, we saw Cameco, which is one of the big names in the uranium space, actually take a bit of a nosedive the last couple of days, and that's because of some debt issues or financing issues with that particular company. So it's well off its highs. It dropped about 10 points or about 30% of its value. And that would have been like my choice. If you're going to play uranium, why not play the biggest company? But the problem with uranium, Jim, the story. There's so much negative sentiment about it. It takes, from what I understand, many years to get a nuclear plant up and running, though there's some new smaller plants that apparently can, accelerate that process. But, in the old days here, it seems like it was a 10-year process with permitting and all the issues to get the plants up and running. Yeah, I'm a big supporter of nuclear power. We got our military in space and on the oceans running vehicles with nuclear power. And it's a clean energy. Everybody's worried that the reactor is going to blow up like it did in Chernobyl and Three Mile Island and all the places. Look at the fires that have come up at various energy plants in recent months. I had some notes here. I think we briefly talked about that. You know, there was a refinery explosion, a whole bunch of them between July 9th and July 22nd. I have a list of about 10 of them here that were blown up. I mean, I guess you could be at those energy plants and you're at risk, more risk than you were at a nuclear plant. So I'm not too optimistic about the conversion going quickly because we have too many liberal thinkers out there who think that you shouldn't be there. You should be depending on solar and wind power or geothermal, perhaps, if you're next to a volcano or a hot water field like Yellowstone or something that could supply your energy. But it is definitely a long-term solution, and we'll see how fast it's implemented.
Sure, build a pipeline to carry steam from Iceland to Europe.
I like that idea. Plenty of it there. I mean, you just think about it. If you're living in Iceland, and I forget the town up not too far from you in Oregon that relies on a lot of steam energy from the ground, geothermal energy, that's fantastic, but it's not going to supply the whole country and do the job. Very short-sighted, political-related moves that are just unfortunate. You know, you could go through a conversion, you could try to reduce, oil and gas, but we still need it. I think I had read somewhere, Jim, you're very good on the statistics. I mean, about, 30% or more of the oil that comes out of the ground is not used for fuel. It's used for other products and things that we need, including highways. A lot of the roadways are all based on, crude oil. I mean, so how are we going to fix and replace our highways? We're just going to cement them all, or we're going to find some other technology. There's so many places that oil is used that those who criticize it are just incredibly short-sighted. So I don't think we'll ever get rid of it. I think there's always going to be a need for it. There's too many products and things out there that are based on it. I guess science and technology will get to the point where maybe it could be eliminated, but I think we're talking 100 years. We're not talking by 2035 or something like that.
Sure, try running your electric skateboard on a gravel road. You'll change your mind about asphalt.
Yeah, what about the EVs in California? I saw pictures of, I think we touched on this last week, that have generators in the back of their vehicles. So if they can't charge their EV because of power shortages, that they can kick on that generator, good old gas generator, and charge up their car. So it shows you that, those people in charge haven't been planning or thinking very clearly. But I think it's all, political. It has nothing to do with what the right decision was. So, time will tell. But anyway, we just have to deal with the current environment. It's very volatile, and there's going to be a little lipstick on the pig here, I think, in terms of people interpreting positive things that are not really all that positive unfolding here in the next few weeks. Suddenly it's going to be the Santa Claus rally, or there's going to be the Thanksgiving rally. Of course, you guys already had Thanksgiving in Canada, but I don't want to sound like a pessimist, but yes, you can trade the upside, but I'm still overall in the bear camp. I think we're looking at an S&P that is another index is well under the March 2020 lows, where the big rally started, and possibly considerably well beyond that if you look out a few more months. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope there's a miracle solution, a political, economic, some technological breakthrough, or maybe our extraterrestrial friends will come down and like a Klaatu out of the day the Earth stood still, will provide us some immediate energy solution that will save the world.
Mark, anything else besides hope for the from the aliens?
Well, the chance of some solar flares today, which is not so great, but we're just watching that. That's sort of about it. I know we already touched on the on the asteroid situation. We also got to keep in mind that, big and smart people like Jamie Dimon at Chase Bank, has warned that he sees the S&P down 20%, and he's running the world's largest bank and has been nervous up to this point. And we also read the other day that Joe Biden or the administration have purchased $290 million worth of Nplate, which is a radiation sickness drug developed by Amgen. What's that all about? So, and in Tokyo, the Bank of Japan has been unable to find a buyer for its 10-year Japanese government bonds. in recent days. You know, there's stuff going on out there, you know, and, you know, I hope none of those unfold, but I'll conclude with Nikki Haley's comment. You know, I think she was a former UN ambassador for the U.S. She said, when tyrants speak, we should listen. Putin said he was going to take Iran, and he is. China said they were going to take Hong Kong, and they did. China says they're going to take Taiwan next, and we should be ready for that. So that's the environment we're in, you know, and we can talk about the Federal Reserve and interest rates and inflation all day, but that's not the only factor out there. So, you know, keep your foot in the door. Don't get too excited that everything is solved so quickly. It may be looking better short term, but I don't think the solutions and the results are there yet. So, but money to be made. I mean, if the market's going to drop another 20%, like Jamie Dimon says, or in my view, possibly go lower than that, you know, you just go, instead of buying the S&P, buy the inverse S&P, the one that makes you money when the market goes down, and don't be afraid of it. You know, markets tend to drop faster than they go up, I guess, with the exception of today, Thursday, where you had that huge reversal. So, you know, that's sort of that's my advice until the air really clears, and that may take some time.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
I hope we covered the bases. Thank you, Jim.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for the show or our guests like Mark, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.